of 2 Chronicles is where we're going to start at. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 32. I know it's a study through the book of 2 Kings, but and 2 Chronicles gives a little bit of a history and a little bit that goes along with the story that's not found in 2 Kings. If you remember last week, we looked at the story of Hezekiah, and as he was going, how the kingdom of Assyria was coming to attack him. And he tried to work out a deal with them. He tried to send them some the money to pay them off so they wouldn't come. And we learned last week about how the enemy tells a lie and the enemy isn't truthful. And even though he sent a lot of money to them, they still kept on coming. And now at this point in time, the nation of Judah is very fearful. They're scared. You can imagine that the northern tribe, which was a little bit larger, has already been conquered from this kingdom that's coming, and they're come to their strong cities, their fenced cities. And because of that, this nation is known for being very cruel, known for being very powerful, the most powerful kingdom probably on the earth at that point in time. And so they're coming and they're facing attack, and Hezekiah tries to encourage them. But then Assyria sends some different people to try to discourage them. Title of tonight's message is, Who Are You Going to Listen To? Who are you going to listen to? You're going to see there are just two completely different opinions. There's one who believes in God and knows God, and one who says, hey, we can trust God. And then there's one who does not know God, that's very loud, very mouthy, very smart aleck, who says, you can't trust him. God can't take care of you. Your God's just like any other God. So tonight when we look at the message, I want us to remember that they have a big decision ahead of them. What are we going to do? Are we going to stand with Hezekiah, stand with the one true God? Are we going to do what's right, even though the obstacles seem like they're insurmountable, even though the obstacles seem like they're going to take us over? And it's a very, very large army versus a very small army. And they have a choice here. Are we going to go ahead and give in? I'm going to go ahead and surrender. Go ahead and let them take care of us. Or are we going to do what's right? And the truth of it is that there's always going to be people out there trying to give you advice. There's going to be always out there somebody who has an opinion. There is going to be people out there that have something to say about what you're going through. And the question is, what voice are you going to listen to? I believe right voices lead to right choices. Right voices lead to right choices. And I'm seeing in this story here, and it's an interesting one, there's two completely different opinions. And the reason why is because one believes in God and one doesn't know God. And as we're looking to listen to people that give us opinions on what we should do or how we should handle things, are we going to listen to those who do not know God and do not understand God, or are we going to listen to those who stand for God and listen for God? Now, we're faced with obstacles. We're faced with decisions all the time. But what voice are you going to listen to? Are we going to listen to those who are standing for right? Or are we going to listen to those who, even though it might seem more sense in the flesh to listen to, but they don't even know or understand your God? And the point of the message is tonight, you're going to have people give you your opinions. You're going to have people that you know, people that you like, sometimes people even that you love, sometimes people that are even in your family, sometimes people that are even in your church family that are not living for God, that are going to offer you opinions that are contrary to what we find in the scriptures. And sometimes it's going to make more sense. To be honest with you, when you see this huge army coming that has a reputation of knocking out countries and nations that are bigger than yours, coming and getting more and more powerful, and you don't have much, and your king has just sent them, you know, $1 million worth of gold to try to pay them off, you know, you're thinking, oh, what are we going to do? I got kids. I got a wife. But, you know, it doesn't look very good. And you're going to have people that are going to give you opinions and say, you know what, your God can't help you here. Your God's not going to be able to take care of you. Your God is just like all those other gods and can't help you. So let's jump in here. The first section we're going to look at is, and the first point is, those who believe and trust in God Those who believe and trust in God. It's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. This is where we left off last week. Verses 6 through 8, Hezekiah is here, and Hezekiah has gotten right with God. He realizes the mistake before by trying to make a compromise. Remember we learned last week that fear can cause confusion, and that fear can cause compromise. And he saw the battle. He was afraid. He thought he could compromise with the enemy, but the enemy will always lie to you. The enemy will never keep the truth. The devil's a liar. He's a father of them. So this is what Hezekiah is going before his men as a smaller group, much smaller group than what is getting ready to face. And this is what he's telling them. It says in verse number 6, and he set captains of war over the people, and he gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city, and spake comfortably to them, saying. So he is speaking words of comfort here. And then he says, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid, nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. He says, look, you need to learn how to be strong. You need to be courageous. Don't be afraid of the king. Don't be afraid of the large group of people that's with them. And then he says something, for there is more with us than with him. He's telling them, he's giving them encouraging words. He is edifying them. He is trying to lift them up. And he's saying, look, there's more with us than with him. He's like, Pastor, this guy's going a little crazy. Remember, the other army's bigger. He understands the spiritual side of it. He understands the truth that's found. There's more with just a few in God's name than there is with thousands, and that is in the devil's name or the ungodly. Verse number eight, he continues, and with him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. So he is trying to be encouraging here. He says, with them, yes, flesh, there is right in front of us. But with us, we have the Lord. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look at this, number one, to learn to listen to the right voices, to those who trust in the Lord and those who are believing in him, those who are standing for what's right. But also to encourage us to be people that stand for what's right and trust in you and give words of encouragement. Make a difference. Lord, help us understand that the importance of, yes, there is wisdom. Counselors, and help us to be that type of counselor. Help us to act like we know God and that we trust in him and believe in him. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. There's three things I want you to think about. And it says, those who believe and trust in God, and then it continues on. The first thing is speaks words of encouragement. Those who believe and trust in God speak words of encouragement. These people need encouragement. They're there and they're on the cusp of national ruin. That's what's being said to captivity. And once again, maybe in chapters ahead, we'll talk to you a little bit about how encouragement. So what does he say? He says these things: be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed. And I think about this word, speak words of encouragement. The word encourage means to give confidence or hope. Quite literally, it means to put courage in someone. And these people need some courage. Say, Pastor, what are you getting? I'm saying that we as Christians, we should speak words of encouragement. If we're truly trusting and believing in God, like Hezekiah is, he says, I'm putting courage in you to do what's right. Once again, he messed up a little bit ago. He didn't have the courage. He shouldn't have been making the speech to the men when they're saying, hey, there's no hope. Let's gather up as much gold as. That's not somebody having faith and trust in God, but he's gotten his heart right, and he's speaking words that is causing people to be courageous and to take a stand. So not only do I want you to see in the sermon tonight to be someone who's listening to the right voice, to be someone who's listening to the right reason, I want you to be somebody who gives words of encouragement. Too many times we live in churches like ours, and we don't hear many words of encouragement. Many times we don't hear people putting courage into someone else and saying, hey, you can live for God. You can do what's right. You can tell young people you can go to Bible college and serve God and still be successful. You can go to a secular university and still live for God. You can in a public school. You can in a Christian school. You know, we need someone who can speak encouraging words and words of courage. And that's what Hezekiah is doing. He's saying, hey, look, I believe and trust in God, and the words I have, I'm trying to put courage in you to do what is right. Many times we miss that in church. We hear people's problems and issues, and we sympathize with them. And the Bible speaks about that. But we need people who can speak words of encouragement. God can help you here. God can see you through this. Remember how God helped you back here? Remember today, God can help you today. But sometimes we hear people in churches today, they're like, yeah, that's pretty bad. Don't know what you're going to do. And maybe you'll have to do this or that. We need people who can, that's what Hezekiah is doing. Because of his faith and trust, he's speaking words of encouragement. We need people who speak encouragement to fellow believers. We need people that will help us to do what's right. People all the time that try to pick our decisions, and someone's going to influence you in your decisions. You're going to listen to somebody. You're going to listen to someone's heart. You're going to listen to someone's being said. But make sure you're listening to someone that speaks words of encouragement. We have the truth. We have the ability to put courage in the right areas. Don't get me wrong. People put courage. I've heard young people say to this another young person, it's okay to disobey your parents. What are they doing? They're encouraging them, but they're putting the encouragement, giving them courage to do something wrong. So we need to be careful here. Hezekiah is coming to them and saying, look, be strong and courageous. Let God fight this battle for you. Do not be dismayed. He is putting courage in to do what is right. We need to make sure that we're doing that. We need to go and say to the people, hey, look, you can do what's right. You can live for God. Put courage into people that need to hear it to live for the Lord. So when you're thinking about, hey, who am I going to listen to? What are people encouraging you to do? What are people being courageous to you and saying, hey, I think you need to do this, or I think that God would be pleased with this? Make sure it's courage to do what's right. I was trying to think of different Bible stories, and there are a few different ones, but the one that encouraged me the most, and the Lord brought to my memory, was when Jonathan was with his armor bearer, and Jonathan was going out to fight when Saul really didn't want to fight. And he was telling the armor bearer what he was planning on doing. And it says in 1 Samuel 14:7, his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart, turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. He trusted Jonathan. He knew Jonathan loved the Lord, and he knew that Jonathan had a walk with God, and he was willing to follow Jonathan. Jonathan, do whatever's in your heart. And it put courage in Jonathan. Jonathan already had the courage, but it gets kind of flamed that courage. And that's what we need to learn how to do. We need to learn how to be people that are not just wavering, but speak words of encouragement. Next thing is speak words of edification. Speak words of edification. The word edify means to instruct and improve, especially in morale or moral, to build up and to increase their confidence. So edification is similar to courage, but the same thing. It's to build somebody up, not tear somebody down. You come to church, you're hoping to get built up, but it's sad to see somebody has the wrong attitude and has the wrong feelings, and they want to rip somebody apart, or they want, just because somebody else is rejoicing or someone else is praising, they're going to say, it's going to try to burst the bubble and just say, oh, I don't know how you're going to do that. Are we looking to, do we serve a big God? Do we serve a God that can do all things? Hezekiah believes this. Hezekiah is trying to encourage him, trying to build them up and saying, hey, look, the mount that's with us is more than them. He encourages, look, they're the arm of flesh, but we have the arm of God. And he's trying to lift them up and build them up to a point that says, you can do this. I want not only words of encouragement, but they should be words that lift other people up. And do we see that in our churches? We do sometimes. I love people that lift my spirits. And I'm not talking about people that come out and say, hey, Pastor, that was a great message, and, you know, sing praises and things like that. That's an encouragement, yes. And it gives me courage to keep on preaching the Word of God. But when someone will build you up and they will just encourage you in the work of the Lord and, you know, remind you of things such as there's more with us than with them, remind you of that, hey, look, they're fighting in the flesh, but we have God on our sides. That will build us up, and that will encourage and increase our faith and improve us and give us confidence in the things that we should do. We can use our words as bricks to build others up, or we can use our words as bricks to throw at someone. And that, we got to remember that. The scripture says that. Let's be people that are encouragers. Let's be people that edify one another. Ephesians 4:29 puts it this way. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to you, good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I had somebody on the phone today, and I was talking to somebody, and they told me something they had said to somebody. I was like, and I guess was silent there for a second because I didn't really like what they said. And I said, did you really say that? And they said, yeah, they needed to hear it because the other person had done something wrong and they were expecting me to defend them. I said, I don't think you said the right thing. They said, well, did you say it the way it was supposed to be? Did you encourage them? Did you edify them? Did you try to help them in their walk with God, or did you just spat off to them and think they told them what they needed to hear? There's a difference. There's a difference between giving someone courage to do, because I don't know, if someone's mouthy to me, it doesn't give me courage to do what's right. You know what it gives me courage to do? To act the same way back to them. It gives me courage. Well, if you can mouth off to me, I can mouth off to you, and you know how that, you know what's going to help that? Nothing. But when you speak to someone kind words, and you speak to someone encouraging words from the scriptures about, is that the way that God would have wanted you to say that? Do you think that you helped that person in their spiritual walk because they were reacting in the wrong way? Are those things, you know, are we edifying, are we building, are we lifting people up? And it says, let not corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. So let's make sure our tongues and our mouths, which can be very, very dangerous, are things that are ministers of grace unto the hearers. Third thing, not only do we see they speak words of encouragement, they speak words of edification, they also speak words of great effect. They speak words of great effect. I was thinking about that, and it says down here at the end of verse number 8, or towards the near the end, it says, and the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. It worked. Think about what they said, more with us than with him, the armor of flesh versus the armor of the Lord our God to help us fight. They received the courage. They received the edification. They're going to stand on this wall. They're going to stand with Hezekiah despite the fact that there's a large army there. They chose to listen to the right thing. It was great effect. And you say, Pastor, my words don't make much difference in people's lives. Remember, what we have is the truth. And we have something that can be trusted. We have the Word of God. And if your words are the Word of God, they're not going to return void. If you are willing to give truth out, and that's when our words become of great effect, is they're of great effect, not because you're the ones that's saying it. Those who trust and believe in God speak words of encouragement. They speak words of edifying. They speak words of great effect. It's because they're truth and because they are trusted. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And when we have the word of God and we give the word of God and we encourage and edify people with things from the Bible, you know what's going to do? It's going to have great effect. Well, Pastor, it doesn't seem like anybody's listening. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's God's job to work in their hearts and lives. It's going to give you so much more effect than some type of watered down hogwash that doesn't help them anyway. Instead, it's say, I can give you truth that can actually help you in your walk, or I can give you what you want to hear. What are the two voices are we going to listen to? What are the voice that we're going to be? So now let's go to the opposite side. Let's look at those who do not know or understand God. Go to 2 Kings chapter number 18. Now, this passage of scripture is a little bit longer, and we're going to read through it and just going to kind of tell the story that goes along with it. And you're going to see that these people they're loud and they're mouthy. And many times people who do not know God or who do not serve God, they raise their voice. They want to get attention. They want people to listen to them. They don't care who else hears. They don't care who else it affects. They don't want you to make your own choice. They want to determine what you're going to do. 2 Kings chapter 18. Let's go ahead and pick up in verse number 17. Now, there are some really great names in here. I wouldn't encourage you to name any of your kids any of these names, except for maybe Hezekiah. But there is some names in here that I'm sure that you could pronounce better than me, but we're going to go ahead and go and do it anyway. And the king of Assyria sent Tartan and Robosaurus and Rabshakeh from Lachish to King Hezekiah with a great host against Jerusalem. So he sends these ambassadors, representative Sennacherib does. And he sends a great host there. So there's a large army out there. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. And when they were come up, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway of the fuller's field. And when they had called to the king, there came out to them Elkam and Hilkiah. That might be a name because he's a pretty good guy, which was over the household of Shebna, the scribe, and Joha, the son of Aspa, the recorder. And Rabshakeh said unto them, speak ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? So at the beginning, the message is for Hezekiah. He is saying to Hezekiah, thou sayest, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? So instead of surrendering, they know Hezekiah is getting ready for a fight. He has strengthened the walls. Remember, he had got weapons last week. He had assured and made things better. And he's saying, why? Who are you trusting in? Why are you rebelling against me? Speaking of Sennacherib. Now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust on him. Now this is what many times a king would do is if they had a small army, they would go pay another big army to come help them fight the battle. And that's what they're assuming Hezekiah has done. They're assuming that they're going to depend on Egypt because that's one of the last big nations that still need to be conquered. And he's saying, you trust in Egypt, it's going to pierce you, it's going to hurt you. He says, but if you say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah have taken away and have said to Judah and Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem. So this is this is aimed toward those that are on the wall. You're going to see that in a second. He says to them, hey, look, you're saying you're going to trust in God, but Hezekiah took away the high places. Now, this is important to understand. Hezekiah took away the high places because they were wicked. They needed to be taken away. God, over and over in the scriptures, it says the king was good, but he didn't take away the high places. The king was good, but he didn't take away the high places. Rabshakeh, or whatever his name is, couldn't understand. He saw, well, he took away the high places. That means they don't have any place to worship. And it proves the point that a person who does not know God and does not understand who God is not going to understand why somebody is making sacrifices for God, taking away the high places and bringing everybody to one altar. Why would they do that? Rabshakeh can't understand that. He can't understand it because he doesn't know God. And he's sitting there making that his argument, but it's foolishness. And let's keep on going. And now, therefore, I pray thee, give pledge to my Lord, the king of Assyria. He says, look, if you'll give us some money, I will deliver thee 2,000 horses, if thou shalt be able on thy part to set riders upon them. He's mocking them here. He says, look, if you give us some money instead of giving money to Egypt, we'll give you 2,000 horses. And he says, if you have enough men to put riders on it. He's mocking them. He's saying this in front of the people, trying to get the people to think, hey, they can't win this battle. Even if we help them, they couldn't win the battle. And let's keep on going. How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain, the least of my master's servants, and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? He says, you could even beat the worst captain. And I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it. The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. Then said Eliakim and the son of Hilkiah and Shebna and Joah unto Rabshakeh, speak, I pray thee, to my servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it. And talk not with us in the Jews' language in the ears of the people that are on the wall. They're saying, hey, look, talk to us in the Syrian language. This is between the diplomats. These people don't need to hear all this garbage. You know, just talk to us. But he's not going to do that. He wants everyone to hear. He's saying that his king sent them to the men standing on that wall. But Rabshakeh said unto them, hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the men which sit on the wall, but that they eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you? Now, you know, that's pretty graphic there. But he's saying that's what they're going to be have to do, that they can't take care of them. This is what's going to happen to them. And he wants them to hear that. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and spake, saying, "Hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not deliver into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, saying, you pay me some tribute, and come out to me," means walking out and betraying their nation, "and then eat ye every man of his own vine, and every one of his own fig tree, and drink ye every one of the water of his own cistern." Now they're saying, we'll give you your land. You can stay there for a while until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of oil, olive, and of honey, that ye may live and not die. And hearken on to Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. And then he continues on to say, comparing the one true God to other gods, "Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his hand out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and of Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of mine hand?" And he's saying, look, they didn't even deliver Samaria. All these gods, they couldn't do it. "Who are they among all the gods of the countries that had delivered their country out of mine hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of mine hand? But the people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was saying, answer him not." Here's the second thing. The first thing is, people who trust and have faith in God are going to speak words of encouragement. They're going to speak words of edification. They're going to speak words of great effect. The second thing is, those who do not know God tells lies. They might not know it. I think this guy Rabshakeh really believed that he was offering these guys a good deal. I think this was a very large army, and he was, all the confidence in the world thought that they were just going to go and demolish them. It was better for them. But he didn't know God. He didn't understand who God is. You know, there are people out there that will tell us lies, and they believe it, but in all reality, it's just not truth because it's not the word of God. You think about it. Instead of words of courage, they many times give you words to make you afraid. You got to stop this or start this because of this reason or not. The enemy will speak lies to break you down and make you doubt. Instead of words of courage, they give you words that make you afraid. They speak lies because they know not the truth. The Bible says in John 8:44, "Ye are your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So I'd like to look at three different lies that Rabshakeh was trying to give to these people. And there's three different lies that the world tries to tell us and who we're going to listen to. The first lie is, you can't trust God. That's what he's saying here. Look what it says in verses 29 and 30. "Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria." And that's a lie the devil tries to tell us. And who are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to those that have words of encouragement, words of edification, words of great effect? Or are we going to listen to the lies of the devil? So of course I'm not going to listen to the lies of the devil. Well, there are times in our lives when things seem to be hard and tough, and we start saying, can we really trust God right now? We listen to people that we know and people that care for us and love us that maybe don't know God and understand who God is, that says, you know, you can't trust God with this. You can't trust God when it comes to this decision. You got to understand the way of the world. You got to understand the flesh. You don't need to trust God when it comes to who you marry. You don't need to trust God when it comes to what college you go to, what job you pick. He said, those are all your own decisions. God's got the spiritual stuff. You don't need to trust God with your finances or trust God with your life. That's what people will tell you sometimes. Some good-hearted people sometimes. But what are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to those that have trust and faith in God and say, hey, you can do this? They're going to be words of courage. They're going to be words of edification. They're going to be words that have great effect because it's truth. But when you have somebody that tells you you cannot trust God in any area of your life, it's a lie. And that's what they're saying here. That's what Rabshakeh is saying. Your God can't deliver you. The second thing is, not only is it a lie that your God, you can't trust God, is second lie is your God can't provide for you. Look what it says in 31 and 32. He says, "Hearken on to Hezekiah, for thus say the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come unto me, out to me, and then eat ye every man of his own vine, and every one of his own fig tree, and drink every one the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land." And then we remember in verse number 27, what they're saying, if you stay on that wall, what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink. He's saying, hey, if you stay with God, you're not going to get the best. If you stay with God, you're going to end up losing. You're going to end up regretting. He says, I can give you much more than you expect. He says, I can give you everything that you love now and even take you to a place that it's even better, that's similar to what you have now. And isn't that a lie of the devil? He comes to you and he tries to tell you, hey, look, you can make a compromise. He says, look, if you just come and give me a little gift, if you'll just give me a little bit, I'll give you everything that you ever wanted, everything you ever desired, everything that you ever thought that you could ever imagine having. And he says, God can't take care of you like that. And that's what Rabshakeh is saying. He's saying, hey, look, you can't trust God. God's not going to be able to provide for you this time. You got to trust in something else. You got to be willing to pay a little bit to the piper. You got to be willing to give up a little bit in order to be taken care of. And how many times do we see that? You know, how many times do we hear the devil say, you need a compromise to survive? Hey, you just can't give this week. You don't give your tithe this week. Don't give the faith promise commitment because you know God can't provide for you now. Things are too hard. Things are too tight. How many times do we think the devil's plan is better for us? And there are people out there in the world that says, hey, I don't understand why you give any money to that church. I can't understand why you go to church four times a week. I can't understand this or that. Why is that? It's because they don't know God. Or they don't understand who the true God is and what it means to worship him and to serve him. There are going to be people out there that says to you, you can't trust him. There are going to be people out there that says to you, he can't provide for you this time. And last but not least, lie number three. Your God is like every other God. Your God is like every other God. And that's what he says in verses 34. And he makes this list of gods and says, they couldn't deliver Samaria out of my hand. Then in verse 35, who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? He was grouping all the other gods into a pot with other gods that were powerless. And he made a mistake. Why is that? Because he didn't know the one true God. And he made a lie. And he says, look, your God is just like everybody else's God. How many times have we heard that lie? Well, I know so-and-so, and he believes this, and isn't his God just as good as your God is? No, it isn't. There's the God of the Bible. There's a God that created us. There's a one true living God. And unfortunately, there's people that sincerely worship false gods, worship false doctrine, and worship false deities, and they believe the lies. But their gods are not like our gods. Those gods in all those other countries could not deliver them out of Sennacherib's hand. But there is a God that could deliver them out of Sennacherib's hand, and that's the one true God. We got to remember this. Our God is not like all the other gods. And you're going to have people that come and people, or you're going to listen to the person that has faith and trust in God that speaks words of encouragement, speaks words of edification, speaks words of great effect. Or are we going to listen to the guy over here who has been disappointed before by their God or disappointed before in their circumstances that are saying, oh, I don't think God, I tried that and it didn't work. I tried living for God and it didn't work. I had somebody who was very sincere and he says, I tried this tithing thing and he says, I end up with too many bills. And I can say, look, I don't know. He says, every time I've been faithful to God, he's been faithful to me. And I, with the right spirit and the right heart, I says, I can't speak for you. I can only speak what the Bible says. And they were sincere, but they were saying, that works for you, but that didn't work for me for a time. And I says, based off of God's word, I think you're wrong. And I says, I don't know what the whole circumstances is, and doesn't make sense to go mesh through all that stuff. But at the same time, I got to remember, I serve the one true living God that can do all things. And he can provide for me, and he can do everything that I ever asked or even thought. And I'm thankful for that. So the question is, who are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to the person who has faith in God and that trusts in God? They speak words of encouragement. Let's be one of those people. Let's speak words of courage. Let's tell others around us, you can live for God. You can be a soul winner. You can serve. You can do these things. Let's put courage in them to do what's right. Let's speak words of edification that lifts up instead of tearing down. Let's speak words that have great effect. Let's not just speak to be heard. And sometimes it seems like there's people out there that just talk and talk and talk, and they just seem like they don't say anything, at least of great effect, because there's no scripture behind it. There's no truth behind it. But we have words of truth and words of great effect because we can trust in them. Or are we going to listen to the voice of reason? That's what they call it today. The voice of reason. We're going to listen to the people who do not know God and do not understand God and do not understand, well, why do you go to church? Why do you serve? Why do you do this? Why do you do? They don't know your God. They've grouped your God with all these other gods that are false gods that do not answer prayers and that cannot move and that cannot do anything. Are we going to listen to the lie that, hey, you can't trust God this time? We're going to listen to the lie that, hey, God can't supply this way. Or are we going to listen to them saying, hey, your God's just like everybody else? Who are we going to listen to? And don't get me wrong, many times it makes sense to listen to this group. And you're looking out there and there's a vast army out there, and listen to this Rob Shaka guy, and you know what? What he's saying is making sense. What he's saying is, hey, I should lay down my sword and head on out there and give him a little gift so I can have everything, because if not, we're going to die. But there was something that Rob Shaka did not put in the equation. There is a one true God that can do all those things. So let's remember that. Who are you going to listen to? Listen to those who have faith and courage, and those that are encouraging you to do what's right. Don't listen to the lies. Don't listen to those who do not know your God, who do not understand your God, or maybe even those that are not living for your God. I've heard bad advice before, even from people that come to church. I don't think you can do that. Are you sure that's what God wants you to do? And people talk people out of serving. People talk people out of going into ministry. Whenever I think about bad advice, I think about Saul. Saul is there. David's ready to fight Goliath. Saul probably was the man that should have been fighting Goliath there. And Saul, what does Saul do? Saul tells David, you can't go against him. And David should have looked at him and said, are you going to go fight? But he didn't. But you know, Saul's there, and he gives bad advice because he's not trusting the Lord right there. He's not believing. Because if he trusted and believed, he could have been out there fighting Goliath at the beginning. The battle could have been done, could have been won, and all those things. We would have never heard the story about David and Goliath. But he gives bad advice by saying, you know, he's a man of war from his youth, and you're just a youth. What is he saying? He's saying, you can't trust God this time. God can't take care of you this time. Yeah, I know we serve the one true God, but Goliath's got a God too. So Saul gives bad advice to David, and thankfully David doesn't listen to that. David instead gives himself courage, and he encourages himself in God and the things of God. And you see that when he goes out there and says, the battle is the Lord's. He understands the battle is not his own. So tonight, who are you going to listen to? Who have you been listening to? Go back and look at how your life has been over the last however many years and see how your life has been guided. Who are we taking advice from? Are they people who love the Lord? Are they people who have faith that encourage us to do the things of God? Or are they people that question God and say, I'm not sure we can trust God this time. I'm not sure if God will supply that way. I'm not sure if our God's any different than anybody else's God. They're lies. They're things we should run away from. And you're going to see here next week, it doesn't get any easier. They just because they make a choice to do what's right doesn't mean that the army runs away, at least not at the beginning. They're still having to deal with this. There's still an army there. But that's why we need words of encouragement. That's why we need words of edification. That's where we need words of great effect. We don't need words that are going to, that's going to get us to question God. We need people to say, hey, we can stand for God today. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.